This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 10th, 2015, the sixth Sunday in Easter, or Rogation Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
God is love. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Happy Mother's Day. We're going to talk about an aspect of motherhood today, and that is love. Love, we hear that word in the readings today and in the prayers today. I did not count them. If I was a betting person, I know for a fact that the word love was used well over 25 times in the prayers and in the readings. We hear about love a tremendous amount in the church. It should always give us a caution to realize that when we hear things so often in the church, we don't fall into this mode where it goes in one ear and out the other. This idea of love, we have to understand it in the sense in which it is presented to us in Scripture. We have to think and understand a true Christian and Catholic love. I always like pointing out parts of Scripture where there seems to be a tremendous misunderstanding. This is one of them. God is love. God is love. God is love. But God is not an abstraction. God is not subjective. God is a being. God is objective, and He is true. We do not serve a philosophy or a theology. We serve a God. He is truly a being. And when we say He is love, we cannot fall into this mode where a whole lot of folks do in our day and age, that this is like an ontological definition of who God is. God is love. That means if you get some kind of warm and fuzzy within you, that all of a sudden, you know, that's like a manifestation of God. Maybe in a scratch of the surface kind of a way. But when God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to us and says God is love, He is talking about the relationship that He has with us. God is not ontologically love. When you feel love, oh, there's God right there because God is love. In the same letter, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, for those of you who take notes on things like that, God is light. Now, we would never think that we go in and throw on a light switch and go, oh, there's God because He's lighter. And God is light. Why don't we jump on the God is light bandwagon like we do the God is love bandwagon? He means something different. He's talking about how He relates to us. God is truly love. God is love in its truest sense. God is love in a holy sense and not the way we in our fallenness perceive love so often. When we think of God's being itself, He is truly the source of all goodness. Anything that is good is of God. I get so bent out of shape when people will read, particularly in the Old Testament, a lot of places, that's the Old Testament wrathful God, and you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God has done it, it's good. It's not harsh. It's actually a source of great joy to understand that when something really, from a human perspective, besets us in this world, something really bad, a loss, an illness, something like that, to know that bottom line, whatever is going to, if we appeal to our Lord, we have to understand that it is in accord with His will, and it is good. It is good for us. Okay? We have to approach it like that, because that is truly what God is. He is the source of all goodness. He is infinitely good in himself, and he is infinitely good and loving toward us. Okay? That's who he is. Then in a sense, we don't even understand because of our fallen nature. God has revealed his love for us since the time of creation. Since the time of creation, when he created all things and it was very good, the last thing he created were Adam and Eve after his own image, bearing his image. A lot of people fall into this sort of a fanciful idea of Adam and Eve like they were two infants in adult form that kind of cavorted around the Garden of Eden, just, oh, you know, we're in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were tremendously better initially than we are. Adam was put there to name the animal, to keep charge over the entire created order. Both Adam and Eve had preternatural and supernatural gifts. They had gifts that go beyond our imagination. They were not a couple of dolts running around there, just that God made and just to be part of creation. They were to have dominion over creation. And they were given the gifts to do just that, and God said it was very good. And there is a perfect love between, a holy love, between God in full communion with them and Adam and Eve. And then, guess what? They messed it up. Okay? After the fall, everything was corrupted. I mean, so many times we just kind of fall into this mode where, oh yeah, that's original sin, and yeah, now I have to be baptized because of that. Let's move on. And no, the fall of Adam and Eve corrupted everything. It just didn't corrupt them. It corrupted nature. It corrupted us. We are messed up because of what they did, not in just an abstract, sinful way, because sin is a consequence of what we do, not in conformity with the will of God. But it messed us up intellectually. It messed us up emotionally. It messes us up physically. That's why we get sick and we die. The fall messed everything up. It even messed up the way we perceive love. I mean, that word, it is so deep and so profound when we think of God's love for us, that God is love. It's so deep and profound, and we so lighten that word. I mean, we ask, I love you, our wives, our husbands, our kids, you know, loved one, you know, I love you. And we mean that in our human way, and it is deep, and it is truly love. But we also use that word for pizza and chocolate. I love chocolate. I love pizza. Okay? All right, I hope it means something different to you. When we speak of the love of God, we can't think of these differences of love. His love never changes. His love is transcendent. He proves that he loves us, like I said, in creation, is the way he created all things. That even after the fall, we see the manifestation of his love more than ever. And that's in the love of forgiveness and redemption. Because if he was like us, if he was like us just a little bit, what would have happened? I put two people there, they have one rule, everything is perfect, and they mess it up. Guess what? Starting over. He could have done that. He's God. He just needs to speak. And it would have been so. But he didn't do that. He sought out Adam and Eve, made them confess their sins, and then forgave and redeemed them. That's a manifestation of love, and it didn't stop in the garden. That's why we are here right now, is because he is continuing to be faithful in forgiving and redeeming. Because it's an ongoing process with us. That is God, the manifestation of God's love. And he expects us to manifest that. The statement of his relationship with us, God is love, is just part and parcel of the direction of us, for us, to love one another. But to love as he loved us. He says in 1 John, and I quote, "Beloved, let us love one another, for he who loves is born of God and knows God. If you love one another, you will prove that you are born of God and that you know God." That is love. That is. I like the older versions better. Pointed this out before. In the newer versions, the words that are translated love, it's kind of consistent. God is love. God is, in the older versions, a lot of times it's translated charity. In older versions, that doesn't say God is love. It says God is charity. What's the first thing that comes into your mind when you think of charity? Giving. Doing something for others. It's much more active than the abstract love. It's actually something that we do. I always like to point out parts of Scripture where there is usually gross misunderstanding. Again, pointed out, God is love does not mean a definition of who God is in his being, but his relationship to us. But people tease that out, and they go here and they say, well, God loves me unconditionally. Guess what? Absolutely false. That is not true. If you think it is, and you're like, oh my gosh, you just pulled the rug out from under my feet. We can sit down and talk. Brothers and sisters, this book is full of nothing but conditions. Nothing but. From cover to cover, it's conditions. The readings that we read today, they were not that long. Said love in them a whole bunch, but they were not that long. And these are the conditions that just popped up in the readings today. And I didn't even use all of them. In the book of Acts, first reading, Peter says, he does not say that you're acceptable to God because he loves you unconditionally. He says, and I quote, "He that fears God and works justice is acceptable to God." He that fears and works justice is acceptable. A condition. He goes on, after these people imbued by the Holy Spirit, he commands them to be baptized. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he commands them to be baptized. The sacraments. They are not an option. He has provided them for you to avail yourself, and he commands you to avail yourself of the sacraments. The sacraments of initiation, the sacraments that nurture us along in our faith, the Eucharist primarily, and the confessional. But the Holy Spirit commands us to utilize these things. A condition of our faith. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself in the gospel. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. A condition. You are my friends if you do the things I command you. A condition. You should go and bring forth fruit. A condition. Love one another as I have loved you. Let's stop on that one for a second. Condition. Love one another as I have loved you. How did our Lord Jesus Christ love us? It's not like a Hallmark card love. Hey, look at me, I'm Jesus, I was born in Bethlehem, I love you. Okay. That right there is how he loved you. That was painful. That was bloody. It was horrible. It had to be done because of our corruption and sin. And it resulted in his death. That is how our Lord Jesus Christ loved us. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. Now, that is not a call for you to go out and think somebody's really special and have someone crucify you, okay? It's talking about not just saying things, not just acting, but actually doing. Catholic love is not a feeling. It is not a warm and fuzzy. It is a doing. That is Catholic love. Doing. Working. Manifesting love to others. Our mothers, I said I started out, this is an aspect of motherhood. Mothers, for those to whom that vocation, they've been blessed, mothers exhibit in their own way a manifestation of this doing love for us. Our mothers, that's the first authority that we have that God has put in place in our lives, and it manifests His love. And dads, sorry, but there's a special place for moms. That's all there is to it, okay? Moms just got a special thing going on, and they're supposed to because they're moms, all right? Mothers, the way they love, think about in your own life, practically speaking. How many times did you lie to your mother? How many times were you just out and out disobedient, disrespectful to your mother? And guess what? Still mom. Still love her. Mom's special. Mother's Day gets a much more huge draw than Father's Day. Hey, that's cool. Because mothers manifest a doing love. They just don't tell you you love them. They love you. They show you that they love you. The worst mothers on the face of this planet. You know, and I always get this anomaly, so, well, my mom, guess what, God, yeah, welcome to the real world, your mom for human beings, okay, they're not the Blessed Virgin, they're not Jesus Christ, so they were imperfect. For those of you who don't know, I was a cop for 28 years, and even in the worst of situations, a mother's love, I usually use it as leverage, maybe that's right or wrong, you know, you wanted somebody to start acting right when you were around anyway, throw the flag that you were going to call DCF, and maybe the kids would be taken away. 99.9% of the time, done. Perfect. Everything worked out just splendidly for us, until we left, maybe. But as long as we were there, and the threat of having the kids removed, and I was in houses where you would go, this woman hates her kids. They could not live like this. There's no food. There's nothing but beer in the refrigerator. This place is a swill. It's gross. And DCF would be called, and mothers would fight. They might not take care of them on a day-to-day basis, but they did not want them to go anywhere. That was some really primitive way that they just manifested mom love. Okay? Our moms loved us. Again, more practically before in this idea of, you know, think of all the things you did to her, and she still loved you, still does love you, because it's a doing love. Doing love doesn't necessarily actually ever look syrupy and emotional. This is a shameless plug. This week, the Knights of Columbus are having a recruiting drive. They'll confront you on your way out. The Knights of Columbus, what does that have to do with love? That is the love I'm talking about, because they do things. They do things for the church. They manifest God's love to the church, to the world. They advance God's kingdom. That is the love of which you speak. The altar guild, ushers, the choir, the acolytes. Everybody who does something here is manifesting a love that they have for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ Himself. That is what I'm talking about. You got to jump tracks out of this emotional, warm and fuzzy stuff that gets crammed down your throat in a lot of places. That is not Catholic love. Catholic love is doing, not feeling. And it is done because we are grateful to Him for what He did for us. It is payback. It is following His example. Because by the way we love, we prove. Yes, prove by our works and our deeds we prove that we are born of God and that we know God and that we are grateful for what He did for us. And if you don't show those things, if you do not love as He loved us by working, then you are ungrateful. You do not love Him. We cannot be like that. That is not who we are. Yeah, we manifest love, but it's a real love. Okay? Oh, you throw out this analogy occasionally. Could you imagine how it would work in your house if it, you know, I love you, honey. You haven't brought in a paycheck for 3 months. There's no food in the refrigerator or cabinets. I love you. The kids don't have any clothes. I love you. You can say I love you as much as you want, but if you don't prove it, you know, who's going to put up with that? You say, here, I love you all the time. So when we hear love in church, don't fall into this emotionalism. Think of practical love. Think that the fact that we love is to prove that we are not ungrateful and that we love Him for what He has done for us. And then also, and this is the bottom line, that we have to love each other according to His example. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.